Attention, Army Wives, fall in. You've come to the right place. Army Wife Talk Radio is the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind, providing the latest reports, stories, interviews, and more to encourage and empower you on your military spouse journey. For Army Wives, by Army Wives. Now, here are your hosts, the Army Wife Network core team.
The latest edition of the Army Wife Talk Radio, your source for military life empowerment. I'm your host, AWN social media graphic artist, Brittany O'Keefe, and it's a privilege to bring you weekly resources to engage, educate, and encourage you in your military life journey. This is show number 706, and we're so glad that you're here.
I'm your co-host for this podcast episode, AWN owner and commander, Sherita Knobloch. I am so looking forward to chatting with our guest tonight, Kristen Strong. Kristen is a mill spouse, speaker, and author. In her latest book, Backroads to Belonging, Unexpected Paths to Finding Your Place and Your People, Kristen has outlined a literal roadmap for each of us so we can find our own place of belonging, no matter where we live. You can connect with Kristen on social media over on Instagram at Kristen Strong or on her website, www.kristenstrong.com. Also coming up in just a few minutes, our News 6 Jolene will be calling in with your need-to-know news.
So, Sherita, it's been a while since we've done a podcast together, so let's catch up. What's been going on in your world?
Well, I'm not sure if you can hear in the background. I'm trying not to be like, keep it down out there, but it is shenanigans in my backyard right now. I can see everyone running around. My aunt and uncle are here. They are snowbirds from Alaska. So they fly down to Kansas City. They get their fifth wheel trailer and their big O truck every year, and then they drive across country and come to Arizona to winter. And so they always stop in El Paso, and right now they are just partying it up with the children in the backyard, like just crazy. And I'm a little bit jealous, but also enjoying the view because I don't have to participate, but I get to enjoy it and watch it from a distance. So that's my hoopla right now. Yeah, what's up in your corner of the world over in Korea right now, Brittany?
Well, I don't have any guests staying at my house just yet, but next month, my best friend and her boyfriend are going to be coming here for a week. So
yeah,
we're going to be entertaining some guests, and you know, I'm really excited because I have some places I want to take them, and you know, she's never been to this side of the world before, neither has her boyfriend, so. You know, I'm just really excited for them to come visit and then at the same time, you know, show them some cool places. So that's kind of what's going on over here in my corner of the world.
Is that your first guest that's come to visit you in Korea or no?
Oh, no. Actually, I had another friend come like the last 2 weeks of August. So she was here for two.
You got committed friends, yo. Like, that's impressive. Like, those are committed friends to be like, yes, I will literally fly around the world to hang out with you. That's impressive. Well done.
Which is funny because none of our family has actually come out to see us. I have two friends.
I see how that goes. Yeah. And I mean, I think it might maybe be different seasons of life and stuff, but that's really cool that they've come to visit and. I just so fun. Like, no matter, I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I feel like no matter where you are, it's so fun to show people where you currently live. Like, today, I just drove Uncle Dennis and Aunt Susan around all day. Like, we just played, and I was like, here's downtown El Paso, here's Scenic Overlook, here's the Fort Bliss Cemetery. We went to my husband's work, and it was apparently Motor Pool Monday, and so all the tanks and the Bradleys and the vehicles were all out, and so he walked us around, and my uncle got to go up in a turret of one of the vehicles, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's just going to die happy tonight. Like, he looks at all the buttons, and they started it up, and man, it was a great day. And I was like, I love where we live, and I'm glad I get to share that with you. And so I feel like we're on the same page with that, for sure. So what's the weather like? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, is your family doing anything for, like, Halloween? Because I know that's coming up.
Yeah. I always try to, like, keep it low-key. I outsourced costumes this year to Grandma. So, Grandma Lex, if you're listening, yourthebomb.com, and thank you for ordering costumes so I did not have to make them or come up with them. So, yeah, went in doubt, outsourced to Grandma. And then I think we're just going to do... trick-or-treating, my daughter has trunk-or-treat at her school, so that's easy, and then we'll probably just, like, walk back up the hill, ring a few doorbells, and be like, oh, it's getting dark, it's a school night, time to go, because, I mean, I don't know, I'm not a party pooper, but you can only eat so much candy, and I personally don't need all the candy in the house, because I will eat it, and good bad things happen when it's present, so, yeah. Yeah, so, and even more so in El Paso, Dia de los Muertos is coming up, and so even more than Halloween, they have, that's a really big deal. So there's a boatload of festivals and whatnot going on this weekend, so maybe we'll feel motivated and do something like that, or maybe we'll just eat all the Reese's peanut butter cups and Snickers after the kids go to bed on Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, because the parent tax. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh,
take that parent tax for the cookies and the candy and stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I hope you survive it.
Yeah, surely we will not die. We will not die. It will be okay. I'm just like, I feel like the schools right now are just stretching me as a mother. So 2 weeks ago, they had picture day. Okay, that requires some preparation. Last week we had career day, so that requires preparation. This week is Halloween week and Red Ribbon week. So Karis has something to dress up or do every day this week, plus a Halloween costume. And I'm like, oh, I need some more coffee. It's good grief. So, yeah, craziness. You guys do anything for Halloween?
Not really, since we're here kind of, you know, not really with, like, a lot of our friends. I mean, of course, we do have friends here, but, you know, we really don't go to the Halloween parties that people have. And since we don't have kids, then we're not going trick-or-treating. So we'll probably just kind of stay by our apartment complex. And there are some families around here. So we do get, like, a handful of kids that come around. So we'll just probably pass out candy. I have a mask I'll put on.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Nice. So, stupid question. Does, like, Korea do Halloween, or is that, like, straight up United States? Or, like, is it more of a, like, you on your military base, or how does that work? Like, I feel kind of like a ding-dong, but I've never really thought about it until now.
So, like, the Korean population, they really don't do Halloween. Like, they're just starting to kind of do the whole, like, fall decorations, pumpkins kind of a thing. Like, I heard a couple of years ago, like, you could go into a store, you know, around October, November, and there wouldn't really be anything special. But, like, over the past couple of years, they're starting to get, like, fall decorations and, you know, that kind of a thing. Trick-or-treat is not a thing for, like, Korean kids, although there are some Korean families, of course, that live by the base, and, like, they've kind of started to adopt that a little bit, but, like, overall, it's not really a thing. So, like, you know, since it's mostly apartments here, a lot of times they'll just do, like, trunk-or-treat in the parking lot, or some people will, like, have, you know, they might invite some of the kids over and they'll do like a Halloween thing, or like a couple people will have candy. Mm-hmm. So it's just like you kind of have to coordinate with your neighbors how Halloween is going to happen. Like that's how I feel like it is included. Because there's just so many people living on post or off post in kind of weird housing situations. So it's like you just kind of have to do your own thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of trunk or treat because it's all in one spot. You don't have to be all weird and walk up to the doors and it's like, hi, just walk by, trick or treat, trunk or treat, throw the stuff in the bag and keep on moving. I'm a three on the Enneagram and trunk or treat's the most efficient way to do Halloween. So go America. I'm all about it.
Well, we're going to move on and we have to thank our sponsors. This podcast is brought to you by our AWN command team. And over the last few weeks, our command team has been in high gear, improving and updating a wide variety of features here at AWN. And one of our biggest changes has been the website. So it's gotten like a whole new facelift. It's gotten a whole new look, and we're like continually adding new resources. So Sherita, you've been the one to do a bunch of work on the website. You know, can you just give us a little update? How's all that going?
I feel like it's going really well. It was a big chore, and I was like, I should hire this out, but I just was too excited and too impatient and wanted to tackle it. So I'm really digging it. I feel like it's made great progress, and we are adding new resources. Like, there's a lot of things we're editing in the background just to keep things up to date because, of course, we want to make sure our listeners have the latest and greatest information, but we've made awesome progress. I, of course, am very biased, but I think it looks great. Really nice and clean, and I'm excited to see where we continue to develop it and the resources that we are adding in the future. So speaking of these website resources, one of our most powerful resources we have online is our blog. We have well over 2,000 blog posts now. And so part of our podcast is we share with you what's been going on at our Band of Bloggers brief. So as the holiday season quickly approaches, I personally am making a list and checking it twice because you all know how much I love lists. Don't get me started. That's a whole different discussion. It's not about me. But I know some people really love out Christmas cards with their family photo on it. However, it can be a little challenging to find a photographer with our ever-changing military life, or even know where to begin to look for one. So that's why tonight's featured blog is from our new expert blogger, April Krinke. April has been a portrait photographer for 18 years. She's earned her master photographer degree, photographic craftsman degree, and a certification as a certified professional photographer, all from the Professional Photographers of America. April shares her knowledge and experience with us in a post entitled, How to Find the Right Photographer for You. As a seasoned mill spouse herself, April shares 4 tips to help you find a photographer that can best capture the essence of your family. First, start with referrals. When you move to a new town, start asking around. Find someone with a solid reputation who can deliver quality products on time. Second, do your research and know what you really want out of your session. Do you want a private family session or one that's outside? What's your style, and what kind of style does the photographer have? Third, know your budget. You want to take all the costs into consideration when looking for a photographer. There are all sorts of photographers of varying experience levels who offer different types of sessions. Fourth, read and reread your contract. Contracts should cover pricing, ownership, distribution, cancellations, model releases, etc. Always clarify with your photographer if you don't understand what something means. And finally, now that you've picked a photographer that fits your style, budget, and you've signed your contract, time to begin planning, which may include wardrobe suggestions by the photographer to ensure your look matches the background and surroundings of the session location. You can read this post and all of our empowering submissions from our AWN Band of Bloggers over at www.armywifenetwork.com/blog. So, Brittany, you've been a mill spouse for a couple of years now, I think. Have you done any professional photos since saying I do to your soldier?
I'm a very bad mill spouse because I have not done professional photos.
There is no judgment here.
Me and my husband are very like DIY type people. So, like, you know, I'd be the type to be like, hey, let's go, you know, I have a camera, I have a tripod, let's just do this ourselves. So we have not ever done, like, professional photos. And, you know, that's the funny thing. It's like, I'm not sure, you know, like what we would do or like where we would do it or anything like that. Now I'm not a professional photographer by any means, but there was one day where I'm like, you know, I would like to practice more. So I like offered a military family, free family portraits. Like, once again, I'm not a professional. I have like very like entry mid-level equipment, you know, so that kind of a thing. So I just did like photos for them for free just to kind of build up some experience, because most of the photos I take are mostly like landscape, and I've never shot like people like that before. And, you know, it was kind of interesting because they had like a, I don't know, maybe like a 5-year-old son and a newborn baby and like a 2-year-old daughter. So like, you know, dealing with all the kids in like all the different age ranges was kind of interesting. Which, by the way, their oldest son was actually the most difficult to work with because he didn't want to do anything.
Yep. That makes sense.
But yeah, that's as far as my experience goes with like professional photos. Very unprofessional.
we've done it a few times just because I have grandmas that are like, we need good photos. And I love photos. I'm a horrible picture taker because we'll do something really cool and I'll be like, and I got half a picture that's really pathetic selfie. So I try to do it regularly. My husband is not a fan of like maternity pictures and stuff. He's like, why do we have to do this? And I'm like, because this is the last time I'm going to be pregnant. And you're gonna do it. And you're gonna be happy, and I'm huge, and I'm a real nice photography. Not really. I'm a cranky person, but only when I'm big old prego. So we've done it a few times, and I'm always really glad. And actually, April, the author of the blog, she's the one that actually took my headshots that I use on AWN. That was before I knew her. Like, she asked for. We're both in El Paso right now. She asked you to kind of a casting call for, hey, I need some people that want a few free photos. And I was like, sure, why not? And she did that. And then the rest is history, because I stepped into this position with AWN and started looking for bloggers and was like, April, you should talk about photography. And here we are. So, yeah, I love that our blogs provide the knowledgeable resources that help our military spouses take some of the guesswork out of their lives, like finding a photographer, or how one of our most popular recurring blog post series is our post with the most.
And that is the truth. The post with the most really helps take out like a lot of the guesswork, about like learning about all the different duty stations around the world. And this week's featured post is highlighting my current duty station, Camp Humphreys, South Korea.
Located on the border near North and South Korea, Camp Humphreys is Army's largest installation in the Pacific. Weather in South Korea is typically sunny, yet cold in the winter, while summers bring heat and lots of rain due to monsoons. The driest season is winter, and the rainiest season is summer. There's a spring and a fall, but they're short and sweet. Korea is 13 hours ahead of Eastern Standard Time. South Korea does not observe daylight savings time, and the closest major city, Camp Humphreys, is Seoul, located about 55 miles away. So, Brittany, you just shared that that's where you're at. It's where you call home right now. So, share some of the highlights from your personal perspective.
Well, let's see. Korea is an interesting place because, on one hand, it's like extremely modern and, you know, in some kind of ways, maybe like futuristic. I absolutely love their public transportation system here. I think they have like the best subway system in the world. It's super clean. It's super efficient. Like, you know, it would be impossible to get lost, and it's like really cheap and affordable. You know, people there are very respectful and it's very clean. Another really big thing about Korea is that the crime rate here is extremely low. So I'm not saying that crime doesn't exist here, but it is a very, very safe place, much safer than America, I think. Like,
mm-hmm.
a lot of families say, like, oh, you know, you could go out walking at night and you don't have to worry about people bothering you. Or you'll see,
right.
like, sometimes if you're, like, in Seoul or, like, a bigger part of the city, you know, kids, you know, little kids get out of school and you'll see them using the subway and the bus systems all by themselves. And, like, you might be like, why is a small child alone on the subway? But then you realize, oh, this is normal. Like, you know, it's safe for a kid to do this alone. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of families love it. There's just so much less you have to worry about, right? And then there's the food. You gotta love the food. I love me some Korean food.
Oh.
You know, so, you know, of course, everyone knows about Korean barbecue, but, like, there's also some other different types of traditional dishes that you gotta try when you're out here. And, you know, it's just an interesting area because Korea is small as a country in comparison to the United States. So you could, like, literally travel from one end of the country to the next end of the country in less than a day. So, you know,
right.
if you want to travel around the country, you could do it so fast and easy, take a train, you know. If you want to travel around, like, Southeast Asia, there's so many countries that are just a couple hours away on a plane ride. And tickets are cheap, you know, because if you're, like, traveling from America, that's thousands of dollars. But if you're traveling from Korea, that's only hundreds of dollars. So I think it's a really interesting place to be. You could do lots of travel. It's pretty safe. They got a great culture here. And, you know, that's been my experience at Camp Humphreys so far.
Well, I love all the stuff you share on Facebook, like food and your travels and videos and stuff. And I'm like, I want to go to there. Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like a very, very solid place for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, they're trying to make this more of a family-friendly place, and they're increasing the amount of families they're sending here. So, you know, if you put in for South Korea, you'll probably get it.
Right? Yeah.
But that is that for Post with the Most. And it's now time to move on to our weekly social media scoop. On October 16th, it was Global Cat Day, and we asked our followers to post photos of their cats on our Facebook page. So a lot of you shared photos of your beloved cats, and oh my goodness, there were so many different categories of felines. So if you didn't get a chance to share your family's cat photo, we'd love to see it. Head over to our Facebook page and add it to the others. So, Sharita, does your family have a cat or a dog, or do you have a cat and a dog, and do they fight? Like, what's your pet situation like?
Yeah, we just have a dog. I really love looking at all the cats. I was like, man, we have some cat people, and I love it. My daughter's always asking for a cat. I feel like that would be not okay with our dog. I mean, he's a little dog, but he would either eat the cat or get beat up by the cat, and so it just would not end well at all about that. So, yeah, I don't think it would be a good life choice to get a cat right now. I would love someday to live on a farm and have an outdoor cat. So, yeah, there's not so much on the cats, but it was really cool to see all of them and hang out with that. And we actually went to Petco this afternoon and played with the cats that were there. And pretended like they were ours for a few minutes, and then we left. So it was great. Good balance. It's all
so,
about balance.
Like, if you had a cat and a dog, would you say that would be a catastrophe?
Damn, we got to get, like, one of those Badoom chicks. We've been working on that forever. But I see what you did there, because that was perfect. Okay, no, we're done. Sorry, guys, no more puns. Brittany, take it away. Move on before people, like, skip to the next episode. Okay. We're gonna get impeached here.
All right. So, on this week's Resource Room, the time in the show where we give you info you need about the military life with resources beyond AWN. Just in time for all the Halloween festivities is MWR, short for Family Morale Welfare, and Recreation. MWR manages programs and services that support readiness and resilience for soldiers and their families. So this is like libraries, outdoor recreation, leisure, travel, child and youth services, sports, fitness, and so many other aspects of military installation life fall under MWR. So Sherita, what is MWR like at where you're stationed, Fort Bliss?
Yeah, it is bomb.com. I am so impressed with MWR here. They are fantastic. There's so many activities. Like literally, I think on the 26th, so 2 days ago, they had so many, probably 10 or even 12 different activities related to all like Halloween, Dia de los Muertos, outdoor rec. Just MWR here is amazing. I'm very impressed. It's one of the big perks, I think, about Fort Bliss.
Well, that's really awesome to hear. Like, you know, there's so much support for families and stuff like that. But it's time for a short commercial break. Up next is our News 6 Jolene bringing us your need-to-know news. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Missed an episode? Or would simply like to indulge in more of Army Wife Talk Radio? Head over to armywifenetwork.com for the full archive, or simply download all the previous episodes via iTunes or the podcatcher of your choice. It's your dose of interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier. News you can use. Now with our headlines, it's time for your Army Wife Talk Radio Live News 6 report.
Welcome back, listeners. We have our News 6 Jolene on the line bringing us your need-to-know news. Jolene, what do you have for us this week?
Hi, Brittany. Here's this week's top stories. Beneficiaries using TRICARE Prime or TRICARE Select plans will be eligible to make changes during the open season from November 11th through December 9th, 2019. This is part of TRICARE's new open enrollment system that allows for changes only during the designated open season or after a qualifying life event such as a move, changes to your sponsor status, or a change in family composition. Go to TRICARE.mil to learn more. Federal News Network reported that Transcom has opened up bids for a $2 billion contract to be awarded to a single moving entity. The story reports it would pare down the 950 vendors DoD uses to ship service members' household goods down to just one entity overseeing multiple subcontractors by 2021. Visit Federal News Network for the full story. Military service members and their families may now be seeing some relief after a meeting of Army senior leadership. Ongoing struggles with the privatized housing network will be seeing some new standards. Army.mil reports, topics senior leaders discussed included the adoption of a common framework for dispute resolution, increased training for installation commanders, ensuring that commanders are increasingly involved with housing issues, improving housing market data to make BAH rates more accurate and relevant, and implementing a new framework for awarding incentive fees to hold property managers accountable for responding to work orders, better quality work, and increased resident satisfaction. Check out that article at Army.mil. Specialist Juan Gonzalez, a scout with Headquarters and Headquarters Company 132 Infantry, was the first enlisted soldier to max out the new Army Combat Fitness Test, also known as ACFT. He had a perfect score of 600. The ACFT is being rolled out and will replace the Army Physical Fitness Test by October 2020. Learn more about Specialist Gonzalez and his path to the perfect ACFT score at Army.mil. And finally, sticking with the season, military life might have enough spooky stories to keep you awake at night. Is it just me, or does anyone else hear every single creak and bump when your husband isn't home? Military.com compiled 11 spooky spots and military installations around the world. Kadena Air Base, Okinawa, Japan, is officially on my do not need to visit list. Among many terrifying stories is Building 2283, a house that sits empty because of reports of a woman washing her hair in the sink, a ringing phone that isn't actually there, bloodstains on the carpeting and curtains, and more chilling stories. Stateside, Fort Leavenworth in Kansas has a claim to fame as the most paranormally active site in the U.S. Army and has at least 36 haunted buildings. There is a haunted elevator in an administration building where screams have been reported despite there being no one else around. If you are more interested in meeting a famous person or two, then hightail it to decommissioned Fort Monroe in Virginia, where Edgar Allan Poe died, and other ghost reportings include Abraham Lincoln, Jefferson Davis, Ulysses S. Grant, and Chief Blackhawk. For more haunting tales, find the link to this spooky story and all of our new 6 reports at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. This is your AWN News 6 correspondent, Jolene McNutt, signing out.
Thanks for bringing us the news, Jolene. That was really spooky. So I love the new format of the reports. The highlights are really helpful to be in the know. So listeners, we will be right back with this episode's guest, Mill Spouse and author Kristen Strong, after the short commercial break.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and, of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier-hound-chihuahua-looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Long time no see, buddy. How's it going? When did you get back?
Hey, good to see you. I've been home for almost a year, just trying to adjust and get back into the swing of things.
Well, it looks like you've been busy. I always see those pics you post of you and your family at all those events. What gives?
Oh, yeah. Vet Ticks. Vet Ticks gives.
What's Vet Ticks?
Vet Ticks is an awesome charity that gives free event tickets, you know, like concerts and sporting events and shows, to currently serving military and vets, including immediate family of troops killed in action. You wouldn't believe how these events have helped me adjust to being back. It's just like a good time that I could have with my family, and you know, all these new happy memories we're making are priceless.
And it's nice to know that people appreciate your service and your sacrifice.
Yeah, it is.
Listen, I've actually got extra tickets. Can I donate them?
Yeah, it's easy. Just go to vettix.org. It's a great site. You could give your extra tickets and other vets like me can sign up to get them.
Cool. I'm on it, buddy. Good to know you're back. And hey, thank you for your service.
Or service to offer our listeners?
Reach thousands of military families worldwide via Army Wife Network.
ArmyWifeNetwork.com has a limited number of sponsorship opportunities available.
Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com/sponsorship
or email us at info@ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. Joining us tonight is author Kristen Strong. In Kristen's latest book, Backroads to Belonging, Unexpected Paths to Finding Your Place and Your People, Kristen points out that in some ways, because of technology, we are more connected today than any other generation. Yet we often feel so lonely and as though we're looking in from the outside. Some women have continual fear that they are missing out on something. So Kristen has created a roadmap for each of us to individually find a place of belonging no matter where we live. She She walks with the reader to help them fight loneliness, isolation, and awkwardness so they can arrive at a place of genuine belonging.
Kristen is also the author of Girl Meets Change, which was her first book, and she writes as a friend offering meaningful encouragement for each season of life so that you can see it with less worry and more hope. The book Girl Meets Change is actually how I first came to know Kristen. I read it, loved it, and we connected online. So it's a good one, too. She and her U.S. Air Force husband, veteran husband David, have three children. Together, this military family has zigzagged across the country and one ocean several times before settling in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Welcome to the show tonight, Kristen.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, ladies. It's wonderful to be here.
I'm super excited to chat. So, Kristen, tell us a little bit more about yourself and where you're calling from this evening.
Well, sure. Well, I am calling from the very snowy woods of Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I am a wife, like you said, to a veteran Air Force officer, and I thank you for inviting an Air Force wife to your campfire. But I'm the mom of three children. I have 20-year-old twin boys, and then I have a 16-year-old daughter.
That's so cool. I love that. And yes, we unbiasedly love all branches of the military. Even though we're called Army Wife Network, we adopt all of them and hope that our resources are good for all of them, because obviously your book is applicable not just to Air Force, not just to Army, but to all spouses everywhere and anybody trying to get connected with community. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes.
Why you decided to write Backroads to Belonging?
Well, I tell you what, I have had a struggle in my adult life finding a place in a people with whom I belong. I tell you, I grew up on O'Neill Lane. Now, my maiden name is O'Neill, and it's in the Osage County, Oklahoma, and everybody on O'Neill Lane was related to me. So I grew up where literally my neighbors were my cousins, my family. Mm-hmm. I had a very, you know, a deep well of familiarity and belonging. And so mm-hmm. then I met my husband in college, and we fell in love and got married. But then I moved to Ohio, which to me might as well have been the moon because it seemed so far away.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a big crash course in learning how to make friends, find my place, because growing up, I really never had to do that. There were, even when I went mm-hmm. to college an hour away, you know, there was always people around that I, you know, at least a few people that I knew. So I felt like I wrote it for me first and foremost, because it's just been something that I've struggled with. But also I wrote it because I think many of us, not just me, we struggle with wanting to do one of two things when we kind of have a crisis of belonging. We either want to jump on that super crowded highway of connection where it's really exhausting, but we feel like we kind of have to do whatever it takes for somebody to notice us. And then when that doesn't work, or we just kind of get hurt and dejected, and then we go the opposite direction. And I've done this too, where I'm like, fine, I'll just stay home. I'll just kind
mm-hmm.
of, you know, isolate myself, and I'll wait,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and when we were moving regularly, I'll wait till the next duty station. So,
yep.
You know, yeah, so totally been to both places. And I just felt like, what if there's another way? Like, maybe we don't have to be so extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a middle way. And so I thought this idea of the backroad way to belonging, where one is seen less but senses her belonging more as she just really relaxes into the places that God
mm-hmm.
has already put her today.
Mm-hmm. So essentially like a middle road, like the back road is the middle road to the jumping in all the things and going just crazy about it, and then also just isolating. Because I've been on both ends of that spectrum too, where you almost panic, like, I have to have people and I have to have it now, and if it doesn't happen right now, I'm just going to give up and hide in my little hole and then wonder why I'm lonely. And sad and by myself and trying to do this Mill South life on my own. So, yeah, obviously much needed encouragement and insight through your book. So why do you think the topic of belonging resonates with so many women to today?
Well, you know, the research is kind of grim right now. There's different studies that show, you know, back in the, I read one article by Brené Brown in Fast Company, and she talked about how in the 1980s, about 20% of Americans identified as they just felt lonely. And then in 2010, that was 40%. Well, now it's closer to 50%, almost half, like 46% around there report feeling sometimes or always lonely. And in the past, it's been generally, you know, the older you are, the more lonely you feel, like the, you know, the elderly and whatnot. But for the first time, it's Gen Zers and millennials that are actually feeling more lonely than the older folks. So, you know, we have a bit of a crisis of belonging, and I think, as you know, I think God wants us. He certainly, we belong as God's daughters, Jesus' beloved, but God wants us to know belonging on earth too. And so I think this topic of belonging resonates with women because they have a deep inside desire to belong, but, you know, just having to kind of figure out how to do it. Social media certainly plays into that. It kind of gives us a low grade sense of socialization where we're kind of tricked into feeling we belong, but it's just kind of like a band-aid for a short term help, but no real help for the long term because it's not authentic communication like in person connection is. It's not authentic connection like being with somebody is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't go as deep as that, you know, like it's, you know, social media is good to a point, but you can't sit around the kitchen table and break bread and, you know, go to an escape room and like have those experiences IRL in real life. And I think that is important when we're thinking about community, especially from the perspective of being a woman.
Yes, I think social media has its place, and it's a gift in many ways, especially male spouses being able to communicate with family that lives who knows how far away, but it cannot be the sole kind of community you have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So why do you think, Kristen, why do you think it's difficult for people to find community? You shared that it's getting, like, people are getting lonelier, even though it seems like we have more ability to connect, but it's not necessarily as authentic as it used to be. So why is this topic of community so challenging for the Gen Zers and the millennials and whatnot right now?
Well, you know, I think it can just feel very much like everybody has their people. I mean, it's like, you know, like I said, social media is certainly a component. And I think because it gives that shallow sense of connection, it still drains some energy. So perhaps somebody is not who's real active on social media is not giving the time to in real life stuff that they might because they're just using it all up in this other way. But I do think it, you know, I know certainly as a military spouse, I saw this, although I'm not a millennial or a Gen Zer, but you know, you move somewhere new and if you live off base, it can seem like that everybody has their people, or it's at least harder to find where do I fit in, you know, as me, and how can I show up where people are regularly. But I think it's difficult too because it just takes work, and we just think it should be easier and faster than it is. And I know I say that with, you know, I say that not trying to sound naive, because I know with a lot of military wives, you know, you're in a duty station so long, you know, you don't have 3, 4, 5 years to make your people.
Right.
So, but I think sometimes we expect it to take less work than it does. And so we have to just be the one to put ourselves out there and to show up where other people are showing up to be able to make that community. And I grew up, my extended family were farmers, and, you know, they do a lot of work in a field before they ever reap a harvest. And sometimes I think we just want to, just want to have the people come to us. And mm-hmm. and especially when you're moving, you know, when you're moving every 3 years, it's just, it can just get so tiring. But I believe that that is kind of the key to finding your place and your people, is just putting in a little bit extra work to show up where others are, to open your home and invite somebody in rather than just waiting for somebody else to invite you over. You know, those things can help take the sting off the loneliness.
Absolutely. I think, of course, you're right on point. And I think being intentional and vulnerable in both of those ways, like, We joke in our community, when we moved here to El Paso a year and a half ago, we go church shopping. Like, we start hunting, like, Sunday one. Like, we show up, and they're like, oh, hey, cool, military family, welcome. How long have you guys been here? And we're like, I look at my watch, and I'm like, 5 days. Like, we need people, and we need them now. And they're like, okay, oh. Well, yeah, let's see if we're a good fit. We're not messing around with that.
Yeah,
so.
I've been one to say, all right, you know, Thanksgiving is in a few weeks. My name is Kristen Strong. You know, you want to come over for Thanksgiving, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like,
yep.
Boom, you know.
I call that adopting. Like, I adopt, you know, I'm like, I adopt the baby soldiers or the baby wives, because they're, you know, because Thanksgiving
yeah.
is not long enough to go home. And so I'm pretty sure we've already got a couple families coming over that we just met at the ball recently, and I may or may not have told our entire battalion that any Bravo Company wives, because their husbands are going to be on a TDY over Thanksgiving again this year, I was like, just come to our house. So I don't know if any will show up, because they're probably like, oh, that's kind of creepy, but I'm like, come on into my kitchen. I'll cook all the things. It'll be good. So
that is such a gift. That is, I mean, that's just the best thing you can do. I mean, and welcoming others in like that, you let them know, those wives, that they are seen and they have a place
mm-hmm.
to settle for Thanksgiving. You know, there's just not a bigger gift you can give somebody. So I applaud you for that. That's wonderful.
I'm just excited. Yeah, I'm excited, and I love it, because my husband doesn't like leftovers, and I'm not cooking all this food and looking at the cornbread stuffing going bad in the refrigerator, and if I have to eat it, my pants aren't going to fit. So, you know, really a win-win situation for all parties involved.
Amen, yes.
Yes,
yes it is. I love that.
Well, in your book, you talk about pride and fear as two thieves that rob us of belonging. Can you explain that? And also, why do you say that it's sometimes necessary, sometimes wondering is necessary? So two things that rob us of
sure.
belonging, for pride and fear, and why is wondering necessary?
Sure thing. Well, so pride tells us we deserve to belong where we want to belong more than anyone else. And fear tells us, well, we don't get to belong where we want to belong. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think we have to remember that belonging is not a state of our circumstances, but of our souls. And I think wandering is sometimes necessary, because it reminds us that in the mystery of uncertainty is where God dwells. And if we embrace the wandering component on our back road, we embrace that mystery where God resides. And, you know, I think of how frustrating wandering is on our end. But if we have to, if God is allowing the wandering to happen, it's not purposeless. And He, you know, we may be more confused and comforted in those moments, but we're not aimless. It's not an aimless wandering, because it's an opportunity to trust in what we cannot see, but still know because of God's dependable character.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's super powerful. But we're going to take a super quick break, and when we come back, Brittany will chat with you a little bit more about specifics in your new book.
Great.
Yeah, so listeners, we'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a few moments.
I absolutely love being a part of the military spouse community. We have things in common, and we have lots of differences. And where there's differences, there can sometimes be conflict. The conflict itself doesn't have to be a bad thing. It's how we handle the conflict that truly matters. Author Stephen Covey, in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, suggests that when we're facing conflict, we need to do a paradigm shift. And this is where we really try to understand where that other person is coming from before jumping to conclusions, which can often lead to the conflict becoming more of an issue than it needed to be in the first place. Now, this doesn't mean that you agree with them. It just means that you've respected them enough to hear them out. This can be a game changer because you are engaging them in an empowering way, thereby also empowering yourself. I am AWN Command Team Member Caroline Schaefer, and this has been your AWTR Empowerment Minute.
Want to expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com, your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
Listeners, we are talking with author Kristen Strong about her latest book, Backroads to Belonging. But before we jump back into the interview, let's announce the winner of our giveaway. We hosted on our Facebook page this week. Okay, drum roll, please. That was the world's tiniest drum roll. And the winner of a copy of Kristen's book, Backroads to Belonging, is Ashley Gemmel. Or I might be saying that name wrong. It could be Ashley Gemmel. I'm so sorry if I've mispronounced your name. So congratulations, Ashley. AWN Commander Sherita will be in touch with you ASAP to make sure you get your prize. Now, we're going to jump back into our discussion with the book's author. So, Kristen, you're back on the line.
Oh, it's so great to be with y'all.
Well, your book mentions that sometimes on our life's journey, delays aren't always a bad thing. So can you explain what you mean about delays not being bad?
Well, yeah, I think sometimes my assumption is, you know, if you've got your plans and everything and a door closes, then it's like, okay, that I heard wrong from God, or, you know, the dream is over. Like, that's just the end of it. And I'm not saying that doesn't sometimes happen, but it doesn't happen every time. And sometimes a door closed is simply a direction changed or a path refined. And so we might be going along our back road to belonging, and we might be thinking, okay, this has real potential. You know, I kind of feel like this might go somewhere as a place for me to belong, but then that door closes. Well, it may not be that we don't belong there altogether. It just may be that the Lord is refining our destination. And I think that's helpful to remember so that we just don't get too discouraged on our journey. That, you know, I wish that it would be nice if there was just straight paths to travel everywhere, but the Psalm says that God will make our paths straight, but that's through his presence. So we have his presence with us, you know, through those delays and those change of plans.
Mm-hmm. And then you touch on like kind of a different subject in your book as well. So maybe you get delayed and eventually you find where you belong, but then something changes and you feel like you don't fit in anymore. So why does that change? And what are your suggestions for dealing with when you feel like you're not where you need to be anymore?
Yeah, I know. Sometimes that can be so hard, and because the people that we are called to be with, or that, you know, we really just have that kinship, sisterhood, I call them my wing women also, you know, that you have in one season or during one period of life, you know, the relationship may change and they may not be part of your inner circle. I mean, you know, your true blue friends in another season. And it's just the relationship changes. And I think it's important to know that, you know, where you belong in one season isn't necessarily where you're supposed to belong in another season. And sometimes, you know, my son, Selena, who's a former Army wife herself, actually she was active duty herself and married an Army soldier. She has this great expression that says, sometimes rejection is God's protection against what isn't in our best interest. And I think, you know, that is just true in terms of not belonging where we once did. If we, the rejection is never fun, you know, it stings, but it may, if it's happening, then it is ultimately in our better interest. And I think that sometimes when you feel like you don't belong anywhere, what I always think is good is narrowing your focus, because when you narrow your focus, you expand your sense of belonging. I think I have before, when I've had a real case of FOMO, I have actually made a list of all the places I currently belong, because sometimes I think sometimes we discount the places we do already belong. And then we compensate for that by trying to belong in more places than we're designed to. And I know that as a military spouses, military wives, that looks different than it does for civilians, because you really do change locations and you do need to find your in-town people. I mean, I remember when we were stationed in Hawaii, you know, and I had to put somebody on, you know, on the emergency contact list for the kids at school, and I didn't know a soul, so I just went up to one of the people in my husband's chain of command, his wife, and said, can I just put you down, because like I need somebody. So you know, that worked out fine. But I think that you have to, making a list of where you already belong, even if you're in a season of, or even if you're moving to new locations frequently, you know, starting with your family, starting with your close friends that may not even be in your same town, you know, that has value, and that's a worthy belonging place that is, you know, a great launching pad to expanding that belonging place as you see fit.
Hmm. So, in your book, you use this phrase, and it is "grow down." So, can you like briefly explain what like "grow down" means, and like, you know, what's the context of that?
Sure thing. Yeah. Well, you know, I think growing down is, it kind of comes from this idea in the winter, and I live in Colorado where sometimes it seems like winter lasts, you know, 16 months. but you know, in the winter, actually the tree's roots underground do still grow. And even though up top, above ground, you know, you don't see evidence of growth in the winter, often the roots below ground are growing and getting stronger and reaching deeper, so that when you do see that, you see even more growth than in the summer because of those stronger roots. So I just like this idea of growing down, because it means spending intentional time investing in the people and places you already belong instead of those people and places where you do not. And I think one thing our family kind of did to kind of employ this is we loved the idea that, especially when we were active duty, when my husband was still active duty, you know, traditions ease transitions, a great way to grow down and build that community with, you know, whether it's your whether it's the people that live inside your house or a couple of close friends that even are across the miles, you can still have some built-in traditions that move with you from location to location. So really that idea of growing down is just investing in where you are, like right this second, like where are you? Who are your neighbors right next to you? You know, certainly that applies to the people in your house, but how can you build relationship right there?
You know what, that's like a completely different explanation than what I was imagining grow down to mean. So I'm really glad you wrote it like that, because, you know, I wasn't thinking that way. So that was really interesting.
Oh, good. Well, hopefully it's at least a little bit helpful.
Mm-hmm. And then you also wrote something in your book, quote, "Some of the most unexpected paths turn out to be the most obvious to our belonging place." So can you kind of elaborate on what you meant by that?
Sure thing. Well, I think that sometimes we look at a singular difference between us and someone else and see that it is, see it as a stumbling block to having a meaningful connection with that person. I think sometimes we discount folks because we think we have nothing in common with them, but we don't really know if we do or don't until we, you know, get to know them. And I like
the idea that looking to talk with people who don't just, you know, think like us, look like us, vote like us, you know, they help us remove our blind spots and see things from a perspective that isn't just our own. Because, I mean, you know, my own perspective can't be the beginning and end of everything, you know, as much as sometimes I probably like to think it is, you know, it is not. So, you know, having just being willing to maybe not just go towards those people who, you know, are just like you in most ways, finding those that are different, think a little bit differently, have a whole different history that they're coming from, you know, it does, makes me better understand where they're coming from, and having conversations and I think right now our country could use more of that, because heaven will be full of people very different from Kristen Strong, thankfully. So, you know, I think it's a wise idea to, you know, look for that on earth too.
Mm-hmm. So in the book, you also talk about not allowing someone else's belonging place to determine yours. So then how can we make sure that we're in our own belonging place and we're not hitching a ride on someone else's wagon to their belonging place?
I love that. Yeah. Well, because that's, I feel like, what I have done often, and is, and probably is a natural response to that when I say, jumping on that super highway of connection. It's like, oh, look at these people over here. You know, whether that is online or offline, like, I really want to get in with them. And, you know, maybe it's not, maybe you're not meant to be with them. Maybe you are, but maybe you're not. And so I think it start with where you are, not where you think you should be. And, you know, looking again at the people around you, your literal neighbors, your Sharita mentioned doing with inviting the folks over for Thanksgiving. I think, you know, that's just such a great thing to do, to stay on your own road of belonging. And inviting people into your home, you're automatically on your own road to belonging. So. And I think just remembering that, you know, trying to relax into the people and places God has us today, while prayerfully moving forward to expand our sense of belonging as we believe is necessary, that helps us stay on our path that God has picked out for us. Because there is, you know, God has picked out a table for all of us, but sometimes we might have to be the ones to, you know, walk up to the table first rather than wait for the invite.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say thank you so much for being here on the show. And, you know, we're kind of running out of time just a little bit. So before we let you go, I want you to tell our
I think you cut out just a little bit.
I wonder if Korea dropped her phone call. We almost made it through the whole show without Korea rebelling. All right, well, I'll finish up for Brittany. So, Kristen, can you tell our listeners where they can go to learn more or get connected with your empowering story and a copy of your book?
Oh, that's great. Thank you for asking. Yeah, they can visit. I have a website. It's KristenStrong.com, and my first name is Kristen, so KristenStrong.com, and there you can subscribe to blog posts and my monthly newsletter, and my favorite social media site is Instagram, and that's, you can find me at Kristen Strong, just my name. And so those are probably the top places that you can find my writing. And I do want to say to you and Brittany that I'm just so enamored and just love military spouses. I really believe y'all are heroes on the home front for all you do. So thank you for all you do.
Well, we appreciate your enthusiasm and your support, and I'm so glad I creeper stalked you and realized you had a new book coming out, and it just worked out, and the timing was great to be on our show. So Next time you write a book, then let me know, and we'll have you back on the show, and you can talk about your next book, because I'm sure there's going to be another one.
Oh,
because you do good work.
That would be a delight. Thank you so much for welcoming me with open arms. I so appreciate it.
Of course. No problem, Kristen. Thank you so much for being on our show. Listeners, thanks so much for listening. Yes. Listeners, thanks so much for listening to this episode of Army Wife Talk Radio. You can go ahead and join us next week when our featured guest will be Kayla Taylor, joining us to discuss career and technical education to military pathways. In the meantime, you can join us on our newly remodeled website, www.armywifenetwork.com, to stay connected to a number of interactive and empowering resources for your military journey. We also invite you to subscribe to this podcast and share it with your networks, or to our weekly newsletter, The SITREP. Just click under Resources tab on our website. And, of course, you can connect with us across all of our social media outlets, such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, by following at Army Wife Network. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment. This is your Army Wife Network Command Team, signing out.
Thank you for tuning into Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. And inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.